Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points North, South, East, and West. You're listening to me, Mitch and Finley. Good morning, Brian.
What's up, JP? What's happening, Mitch?
Not much. How did the, what'd you have to get home for yesterday? We named like eight appliances before we remember which
washing
one
machine.
It was. Washing machine. You get the new one?
And then I had a talk to the coach from Hampton as well, so.
All right. That's two very distinct differences. Differences, yes. How'd it go with the washing machine?
The washing machine came in. It's an unbelievable one. For some reason, I think it's also a dryer.
Wow.
And I didn't know that. But it's
that
cool.
That makes two of us.
That'd be fine. Because it said something about dryer control, and it had a little...
The washing machine is also a dryer?
Yeah, they had a thing on the top that was saying how you get to it. I'm like, okay, well, if you got two loads to wash, you wash one, throw it in the dryer we have, then you wash the other, and then you just hit the dryer on the new machine.
What a world.
It's crazy, man.
Hey, man, I was unaware that existed,
yeah.
But it sounds cool. I mean, hell, you drain the water out and just crank the heat, more or less, right?
It's a thing that controls it all. Just hit a button, bing.
How was it with the coach from Hampton?
It was good. It was good. You know,
you got the Howard Hampton game this weekend,
yes,
on Monumental,
yes,
right?
Yes. So when you talk to some of these coaches sometimes, some of them are so evasive. Not this coach. He wasn't evasive.
Good.
He basically was a guy who he believes in what they do, and that's the way he presented it. You know, and I think I can't wait to see the game, and we're supposed to talk to Howard, our coach, today. And find out their concepts and all like that. So, you know, it should be a good one. It's that big battle.
This is the battle of the real HU. Yeah, man. That'll be fun.
I talked to some people, and they already talking about, well, if they win the game, we still the real. No. Let's not go there. This is all about sports right now. We're not talking about academics. Just sports.
Yeah. to me, this weekend's game is to be HU.
Yeah.
I will root for Howard, obviously, but I know a bunch of Hampton folks, too. That'll be what time is the game?
4:00.
4:00. There you have it. Obviously, there's a more pressing game in Washington. But so everybody understands, normally on a Wednesday, Brian and I would be broadcasting from Ashburn. But today, we got the joy of driving downtown D.C. in the rain because everything is pushed back.
Drizzle, man. Not rain.
It was raining this morning. It's not really anymore.
When I was coming in, it was nothing. It was just wet.
I came down.
You came here before I left my house.
Yeah, I was here early. I just dropped the girls and kept coming.
About time.
That's generally what I do. It's different going to Ashburn because I'm going the opposite direction. But everything is pushed back for the Commanders this week.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they're not at practice. But the NFL rules stipulate they got to let the media out there 3 days. So they call this a bonus day. And bonus day means the media doesn't get to come. That's the short version. So it's not like they're not there.
You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
And so tomorrow we'll be out there. We'll hear from Jaden Daniels, hear from Dan Quinn. Friday we'll get to hear from Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. And then Saturday, DQ, we'll talk again and kind of lay out who is. They haven't really done a heck of a job of telling us who is and isn't playing. We'll see. You know, I don't know that there's a lot of lingering injury questions going into this week. They will have to, I believe they'll have to put an injury report out this afternoon.
Normally that Wednesday, the first one would be, but
it's a Monday night game.
So it probably won't be till tomorrow.
Might not have to till Thursday afternoon.
Yeah.
In paying attention to things and then talking with some folks, I don't want to get too ahead of it, but this feels like Washington might be walking into a buzzsaw here.
I mean, if you look at that team, how good they are, they looked awful the first week, Cincinnati.
Awful.
Now, Cincinnati, one thing about Cincinnati, when we saw last week against Kansas City, they get up to play Kansas City just like we always play Philadelphia tight.
Yep.
So, don't know. You know, it could be Never know what kind of game it could be here.
So I totally agree with that. You know, whenever you think you know what's going to happen,
yeah.
What was the stat? Anybody have the Raiders beating the Ravens?
Nope. Right. And it's, I think, listen, man, I think it's more going on in that locker room and with that team in Cincinnati than they're letting out.
Agreed. I think ownership is cheap, and you have a chance to have Montana to Rice and Burrow to Chase, and for whatever reason they're not doing it. I think Ja'Marr Chase on some level feels...
Disrespected,
sure. Yeah, yeah. Or even lied to, perhaps, which I don't
know
which
one's
worse.
They misled him, so we don't know.
But all signs point to T. Higgins making his first game of the season. Mm-hmm. And this kid, Yoshi, they got. Did you see his stat line from last week?
No. I tell you about those guys coming back and making their first appearance. If they hadn't played in preseason, they hadn't played yet. They might show up, but are they in football shape?
I think Higgins played and then tweaked something. I don't know. We'll find out.
We'll see.
This dude's name is yeah. It's a tough one. I wish you luck pronouncing it. Ayashivas, but they call him Yoshi.
Yeah, that's what we're going to call him, Yoshi.
He had 2 catches for 7 yards with 2 touchdowns.
2 catches, 7 yards.
Hey, that sounds like an old Gerald Riggs stat.
No, we had it was James Jenkins used to be here as a tight end. I think James had 5 receptions and 4 touchdowns. He said all he does is catch touchdowns. So
good problem to have.
When he caught his reception in the middle field, he said, hey, I only do it in the red zone.
So I want to have, because we kind of get this bonus day, we'll call it, we have a packed show coming up. Our boy Neil Greenberg will join us at 11. John Talty talking some college football joining us at noon. We're going to do power rankings at 1. Ben Fisher from Sports Business Journal at 1:30. A lot for us to discuss. But I want to start, and I'm even going to open the phone lines. We rarely do this early, but I want to get the conversation in before maybe we go a lot of different directions. Yesterday, I think we talked kind of at length about the increased offensive efficiency for Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, it's only 2 games.
Yes,
it's only
it is.
2 games. They're 10th in yards gained in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That is a massive departure from what it's been.
They played 2 games just like everybody else. And, I mean, one thing about it is we have a tendency whenever we do sports, and I don't care who it is, we normally talk about what somebody isn't doing or can't do. And when somebody is doing something, we kind of shy away from that. You know what I'm saying? But this is an opportunity. Hey, they started off the first 2 games. They're 1-1. And in the first game, we were like mad at a lot of stuff. Second game, you got a good little feel. You still want them to get better in the red zone. But the ultimate thing is they take care of the ball. They're efficient with what they're doing. Everybody has an idea of what Cliff Kingsbury should be doing. Okay? But Cliff Kingsbury understands what he has and what he's trying to do. So I'm good with it. We can talk about that now because, we can talk about it this second week, and then everything could change next week. Totally. It could get better, it could get worse.
We talk about it weekly.
So
they're 9th in the NFL in third down conversions offensively. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. Their red zone touchdown.
That's something that they were not prior.
Right. Their red zone percentages aren't good.
Yeah,
we'll be honest.
When you look at touchdown, but from what you know off the top, it can't be
right. But if you look at just kind of the efficiency of the offense and how frequently, when they have the ball, they're at least in a scoring chance.
Yeah.
Whether now it's been mostly field goals, but like they didn't punt the whole game against the Giants.
Yeah,
they had
Tretz was completely dry when he ran off the field. Not one.
They had 9 possessions, and one of them they took a knee because it was 8 seconds left before halftime at their own 30. Yep. Right? Like, all right, that efficiency, of course, nobody's denying you'd like to have 6 and not 3.
Yeah.
But they're moving the ball, giving their team a chance to score, right?
I agree.
Even if you go back to the Bucs game, where, listen, they got beat pretty good, but of the possessions in that game, the first one, I'm giving Jaden a pass. He talks about he gets butterflies before every game. It was his first ever NFL game, and on the first pass, he threw it backwards 15 yards.
I told you, I did it for 14 years.
Right.
It doesn't leave you.
Right.
You just got to get past that first thing, and they're going to have to find out what is it that he needs to do on his first play, because we've seen 2 plays now One was a high one, right. And that was
behind. Totally.
And that it seems to be a thing. So right. You got to figure out something to where it's a toss.
Start on defense.
Yeah, a run. Do something else.
But even go back to that Tampa game where they were outclassed. Tampa looks like, we'll see when we get to power rankings later, but Tampa looks like they might be one of the best teams in the NFL, at least through 2 weeks.
Yeah.
They start with the 3-and-out, but then they have a 10-play drive. They miss the field goal. Mm-hmm. Then they have an 8-play drive, and it's a touchdown.
Yep.
Then it's halftime. So of real possessions in the first half of that game, they had scoring opportunities on 2 out of 3.
Yep.
Then you get to the second half, missed field goal again. That's a 12-play drive with a missed field goal. Then there was a 3-and-out. Then they scored. Then they had a 5-and-out, and they scored again. So they had scoring opportunities on 5 mm-hmm. of 7 possessions. Because to me, taking the knee with 16 seconds before halftime is hardly a real possession.
Yep.
They had the ball 1, 2, 3.
They were in scoring opportunities 72% of the time, 71.4% of the time.
To me, listen, there's a lot of new parts. I think Eckler, I think Brian Robinson, I think Zach Ertz are all helping. I think Noah Brown may prove to be a piece for this organization going forward. Obviously, you've got Terry McLaurin, some other receivers there. But to me, one of the huge differences is Jaden, and just Jaden.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be naive to think otherwise. I think offensively, if you just look at EPA, expected points above average, right? Like, they are performing offensively at a clip that is among the best in the NFL. There's only mm-hmm. 4 teams better than them. Now, defensively, it's got awful, but that's a different conversation. Because I want to talk about Jaden through 2 weeks.
Okay.
And if we want to make it about Cliff or weapons, I'm okay with that.
Well, they are attached at the hip.
Now, there is another side to this that I want to bring up. I don't only want to point out what I think are really positive things, right? Let's take a look at what happens every time the quarterback drops back across the NFL. All these things get charted. This one's charted by Pro Football Focus. And what I like about these charts from PFF, these are not subjective. These are not some dude's opinion on who's winning the top of a route. This is objective information. Because every time somebody drops back, there's a series of outcomes that will happen. A pass is completed. A pass is on target. A quarterback scrambles. A quarterback throws it away. A quarterback gets sacked, or the ball gets batted down. The goal of a dropback is to complete the pass.
Totally.
The best team in the NFL at that is the Detroit Lions. They are hitting a pass on target 77% of the time. Very, very, very little scrambling. Not a lot of sacks. Weirdly, a decent amount of balls batted away. But you've got the top 4, I'll give you. You've got Detroit, the Rams, the Seahawks, all at above 70%.
Okay.
Passes on target. Now the bottom 3 in this, pretty damn interesting. I'm not going to bury the lead. Washington's dead last in passes on target.
Okay.
They've had 29% of their passes on target. 36% of dropbacks result in scrambles. 4% in throwaways, 32% in sacks, 0 balls batted down.
Okay.
On the surface level, those numbers seem a little alarming. I would argue there's context involved. But let me give you the next 2 teams from Washington. Washington, 29% passes on target.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, they're next. 33% passes on target, 25% scrambles. A lot more throwaways for Lamar. 17% throwaways, 17% sacks, and a lot more balls batted down, 8%. We just talked about the Bucs. Bucs are 2-0. Just went to Detroit, won a tough guy game.
Yeah.
The Bucs are 3rd in this thing. Baker Mayfield, 37% passes on target, 26% scramble rate, 5% throwaway, 32% sack rate. The exact same sack rate as Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Almost the exact same throwaway rate. I can keep going. Joe Burrow's actually next, the Bengals, 4th in this. 38% on target, 25% scramble, 8% throwaway, 25% sack, 4% batted balls. I think a number of things. I'm curious if you agree with me. We're not going to lie. You want the passes on target to go up, period.
Yeah, you want them to go up.
I think when those go up, the other numbers, the sack and the scramble numbers, will dip. That's just kind of inherent. If something goes up, something else has to change. There's still only 100% of these things happening. I don't find this alarming. I find it contextual. I think against Tampa, he ran a ton. I think a lot of that had to do with Tampa blitzing like crazy.
Yeah.
And I haven't had time to do this. Maybe we do it live on the air. I want to chart that out to the second half of the Giants game when I think he finally realized, okay, they're not blitzing all the time like Tampa. I can wait a beat. I can get the ball out. And he went 12 of 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as this goes forward, I think that's the Jaden that is going to perhaps become a really special player in the NFL. That he still run. He still scrambles. Well, he still shows the dynamic talent.
My mind goes to this. Watch another team that has a guy that can't scramble. And when they don't throw it on target, see, Jaden scrambles and might get the first down. Does the other guy's sacks go up? Does the other guy throwaways go up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's depending on the ability of the quarterback that's they're rushing or whatever. It could change up things. So looking at it in a certain way might not be – it looks bad with the percentages, but could it be all that bad if the when you decide to tuck it and go, you get a first. You may get a touchdown.
I'm with you. I think – his sack rate, and there was so much made about sack rate, his sack rate isn't that out of whack. Like I said, it's the same as Baker Mayfield. It's actually lower than who's playing in for the Raiders right now, Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
It's pretty comparable to Burrow.
This is a question I'll ask Neil when he gets on here. Guys that have athleticism and believe they can make something out of it, do they have a higher sack ratio? Because those guys hold the ball a little bit longer.
So there are players that I think Jaden should try to approach, and I think he will, dude. It's two games in. Josh Allen, okay, is a runner. Josh Allen runs. We have like a weird racial preconception about what we're able to say about a quarterback. He's a white dude. I get it. He's a running quarterback. Josh Allen, his target rate, though, is at 47%. I think that is where Jaden should be striving to get to, 40%. Because Josh Allen is then running 26% of the time. He's got the 5% throwaways, 5% batted balls. And he gets sacked less. I think some of his getting sacked less is he's just a unit. He's really hard to bring down, kind of in that Roethlisberger mode. But the difference with Allen and Jaden, Allen runs all the time. I'm cool with Jaden running. Just get that target rate higher. I think if you look at mobile quarterbacks that don't run but are certainly shifty, like a guy like Dak, just their target rate is so high that the only thing for me is I'm not looking for you to run less. I'm just looking for you to complete more passes. And I think that will alleviate the stress.
Is that target rate about completing the pass, or is it throwing the ball to the person? Because, hell, he's completing 75% of his passes.
Sure.
He's not like missing most passes.
Now, some of this is just some of these teams throw so much more. So their number, like the fact that Anthony, all right, I got a break. I understand, Landfill. Anthony Richardson's numbers in this look really good. Anthony Richardson's completing like 42% of his passes.
There you go.
You got to take the full context. Here's what we're going to do. How excited are you about Jaden? Do the advanced analytics to sacks and scrambles concern you? Or does the eye test, where the kid is clearly passing with flying colors, have you fired up? 800-636-1067. Two games into the Jaden Daniels era. How you feeling?
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're going to talk about football. Damn it. We're going to talk about football all day. All our football coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator to find out how much you could save. T-Mobile.com/switch. B, my little one last night came home with a learning about the Commander's book from the library at school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to send you some pictures. It's maybe I'll bring it in. It's pretty damn interesting. This, but they only been the Commanders for 3 years now.
They got a book.
Damn near every picture of a player, of a current player, ain't on the team anymore. On the covers, Chase Young. They got Antonio Gibson inside of it. And my little girl is just like, Daddy, where's he now? I was like, New Orleans, New England.
So he's a saint.
Yeah, exactly. She was by far.
Where's that book?
Yeah. Most excited that most of the playoff history was in January, which is her birthday month.
Wow.
I want to have a conversation. I haven't. I apologize.
Make you go,
I apologize. I have not yet said good morning to the boys in the aquarium, Landini and Heavy Metal Chris. I want to let you guys kick this off because the phones are open. Landfill, you have a way of cutting through the BS of knowing what's real and what isn't real. How do you feel about Jaden Daniels through two games?
I'm pretty excited. Yeah, I think it's gone about as well as anybody could expect it. I think the fact that kind of offense and scoring around the league is down a little bit kind of makes the numbers look a little bit better. And, you know, frankly, the fact that the other two rookie quarterbacks that are playing are absolutely sucking makes me feel even better. Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
All right, that's the great Landini. Let's go to these phones.
Landini way.
There are stats to support just about anything you want with Jaden Daniels. I personally, I'm just going eye test because I've now seen every throw he's ever made as a pro player, and I think he's really good. I think I think there's real potential for him to be a special player.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Colin is in Clinton. Colin, how you feeling about Jaden?
Really good, you guys. Thanks for having me. I think for the advanced stats discussion, his EPA per play being ranked fifth and his success rate being ranked seventh in the league right now is a really important part of his conversation. And that graph, I think it was by Timo Riske.
Yeah.
I really like that graph. I think I'm looking at it too. So what I see is that he has a like league-leading scramble rate and the lowest rate of passes. So I think when B. Mitch, when you said, like, yeah, that doesn't show whether it's an incompletion or a completion. That's totally right. That's my understanding of it, too.
I also think, to your point, Colin, a scramble is a positive outcome, right? So if you look at the two possible positive outcomes out of five possible outcomes, right? There's five outcomes, a batted ball, a sack, or a throwaway.
Yeah.
Now, a bad ball and a throwaway don't kill you, but they're not positive. A sack kills you. A scramble or a pass on target, those are positive outcomes. And just those two things, he's at 65%. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I think, challenging our conception of what it is to be a successful quarterback in 2024. Even with that pressure to sack rate, it's like 19th, I think, in the league right now, but it's 28%, which is actually kind of high. Historically speaking, but again, like relative to like the way you play now in the NFL, I think it's okay. So long as I go back to that EPA per play. He is putting this team in a position to score points among the best in the NFL. And that's very encouraging for me. Yeah.
I agree with you, Colin. I think you're seeing it just on the efficiency of the offense and the opportunities they're getting. Do they need to punch it in? Yes. But they're moving the ball. Thanks, Colin. Good call, man.
But see, the ultimate thing for me is like I go with eye tests. I go with what I've seen. I think a lot of the numbers you can make numbers say what you want them to say, just about whatever information you put into it. But if a guy throws balls on target all the time and they're not being completed, I don't see where that's a positive no damn way.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Richardson doesn't have. Anthony Richardson's completed 49% of his
passes. Jaden completes 75%. And you mean to tell me Anthony Richardson, based off of one of those stats that are going on, is better than Jaden? No, it's not.
Jaden also doesn't have an interception. He has zero interceptions. 800-636-1067. We're not trying to lead the witness. If you think this ain't going to work, you're allowed to call in and say that too. But for Commanders fans out there, and just for folks listening, if you're listening and not a Commanders fan, that's a hell of a Venn diagram, but good for you. How you feeling? Let's get to Jilly. Jilly, how you feeling about JD?
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. B-Miss Jay Finley, what's up with y'all?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I'm pretty excited about Jaden Daniels. I think there's we can see a clear upside from the first game to the second game. I will say, even with Caleb Williams, I wish they would have played more in the preseason. We would, you know, these hiccups that they're doing right now, it would have been you know, dealt with in the preseason. You would have seen a more developed quarterback in the regular season. But for Jaden Daniels, I'm excited. I want to see what more he has to offer, throwing more and using the legs. So I'm excited, man.
Yep, appreciate it, bro.
Thanks, dude. Good call. Yep. Let's try Andy.
What's up, Andy?
Andy, how are you, bud?
Hey, fellas, can you hear me?
Yep, yeah, we got you.
Great. Yeah, so a couple things. I think one is just, look, two games is a really small sample size to be digging too much into the analytics, in my view. You know, I think Cliff's bringing him along pretty slow. If you look at the tape, he had like five total dropbacks to pass. But the biggest takeaway for me is, Daniels is a much better runner than I even thought he was. I mean, you look at a lot of these guys that come out of college, Malik Willis, Trey Lance, there's a lot of problems with translating running to the NFL. And I think if you look at his style from the eye test, he's got an unbelievable feel for space, and he's got this, like, flasher running style that just seems to translate really well. I think if you're watching that through two games, you got to be thinking, I mean, I can get into superlatives here, but it looks like it's Lamar and him in terms of running quarterbacks in the NFL, and that makes me feel amazing as a fan.
All right.
Appreciate it, Andy. Good
I
call,
like that.
Dude. I hard to disagree there. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody has said this, but there is a fair concern about the hits, but I mean, if you're just talking about rookie quarterbacks right now, I'd be more concerned about Caleb Williams and the hits he's taking off schedule behind the line of scrimmage because he's not letting the ball go. And maybe there's some real problems with that line there too, but like you get hit behind the line too, man.
Yeah, and I think the hits behind the line have troubled me more. Like the hit that he got his wind knocked out of him, the guy speared him. But, you know, how many times are you going to get a guy just coming in like that and not get a call on him? But the thing that it's like he's going to retake hits. It's the NFL. They don't have a flag on him for him to pull a flag. So I would just say he has to realize he gets down the majority of the time, most times. But every once in a while, you're going to go for something and you're going to get hit. But I believe he's done this so long to where he could probably handle it. If he just goes out there and try to lower the boom on everybody 25 times a game, I'll be just like everybody else. But that's not what he's doing. He's trying to avoid contact most times.
And, you know, we watched last night. And Jalen Hurts had that really nice slide just short of the goal line. And that's cool. And when you are in space like that, you have the opportunity to slide. But I do think a lot of quarterbacks will tell you they prefer when they can to kind of just, it's almost like a dive. Like you go in, land on your shoulder, get down. And I've had quarterbacks tell me that is their plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Tyler in Calvert County. What up, Tyler?
What's up, Tyler?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
Yeah. Now, what Jaden scares me when he runs, man, he going head first into every run, that's not going to last long.
I mean, you make that comment. Why would you say that when sliding and head first are the exact same thing in the NFL? You are protected.
I don't know. I'm thinking if you go down on your – go and at least slide feet first, you're giving yourself at least a chance. Going head first like the way he does, I just see something bad happening, and I'm – don't want to see it because I think.
Now, are you saying like what I'm referencing where they kind of like go down on their shoulder? Like, technically, that's head first, but that is almost taught at this point.
Yeah. That's just whenever I see it, I just feel like that's just a you're just sticking your head out to get popped.
Now,
but if they're going to hit you like that when you put your head first, they're going to hit you when you're sliding as well. And I think you can get messed up in both ways.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I know he's not really built, you know, for that, those kind of hits, though. That's why I'm saying he should probably just go ahead and just skip. Don't go for that extra yard and just take the slide. You know what I mean?
I'm with
you. But see, listen, the thing, if you don't get an extra yard when you go head first. You are down where you start the slide. You start the head first or the slide, that's where they mark you down.
Tyler,
right.
If you're concerned, listen, he's got 26 carries through two games. He had to come out for a game because he got the wind knocked out of him. He had his helmet hit off in Tampa. Like, if there is concern there, I think it's understandable. I just think he's a dynamic runner, and he will evolve. And I think give it time, man. I try not to be overly concerned, Ty. That's my advice.
Yeah. All right, yo.
All right, man. Appreciate you, man. Landfill's going to kill me. We're late again. All, everybody on the phones right now, Jake. We're coming to you next. Nobody go anywhere. Big news in the sports media world. Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, retiring, stepping away from ESPN.
Mm.
Sounds like he's just tired of putting all the work in, man.
Hey, done man.
It takes
a toll on you.
Yeah. Especially when you do it at that level.
We talk about these guys getting hit. Well, you just constantly looking and following news, that will run you pure crazy.
Now's the time, right?
You've aged like 10 years in the last two. Hell.
NBA kicks off not that far off. I know the Wizards opener's October 24th against the Celtics. So that's about a month out. And if you're Woj, you're about to get busy as hell. Congrats on a great career.
And again, you know ESPN has been doing a lot of stuff with those contracts. So maybe it's a reason he's doing it.
And he's just going to launch his own podcast.
There you go.
Who knows? I want to get to these phone calls. Jaden Daniels through two games. There's a lot of stats. You can pick any of them. Quarterback passer rating is not my favorite stat, but it's interesting, and it cuts a really broad spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback passer rating today, you would have made $1 billion if you picked the top two. You went for the exact box of Derek Carr at number one and Baker Mayfield at number two.
Mm.
Listen, big long season coming, but if you look at quarterback passer rating across the NFL through two games, Derek Carr, who's been on fire, Baker Mayfield, who's been on fire, Josh Allen, who usually lands about there, Kyler Murray, Cardinals, Sam Darnold, Landfill's favorite with the Vikings, CJ Stroud, Geno Smith, Jaden Daniels at 8, Brock Purdy at 9.
Mm.
A lot of stats out there.
Yeah.
Let's go to Sean in D.C.
What up, Sean?
How we feeling about Jaden?
Feeling great. I mean, you talk about saying, like, eye test. I'd just say vibe check would be late game. Do you trust the kid to move the ball, take care of the ball, and be able to win a game? And I said, you know, late that game, when I was getting nervous, like, we're going to give this away, I trusted the kid. I thought he could do it. And so I don't care what the analytics say after, you know, two whole NFL games. I look at him. I look at what kind of control he looks like he has over those players on the field, the kind of kid he is, it seems like, in practice. And I trust him. And I can't say that about, I don't know, the last 8, 9, 10 quarterbacks we've had come through here. When it's late in the game, I'm looking at how we're going to lose this game instead of how we're going to win it. And when he's got it, I feel like he's going to make plays. It might not be a touchdown pass, might not be, you know, an 80-yard run, but he's going to get first downs. He's going to move the ball. And I don't need any other analytics other than that. And then just say, I feel confident in him. And I feel more confident in him than any of the rookies that are out there right now.
Thanks, Sean.
See,
great
one
call.
Thing that Sean said right there, he said, he see how he is with the players and how the players respect him. There's not an analytics in the world that tell you about people believing in somebody, that guy being a leader. That doesn't happen in analytics. So when people want to just throw numbers at me, I'm like, do the players believe in him? Do they follow him? I don't give a damn what his numbers are, because late in the game, if they don't believe him, they're not going to believe in him, no matter what those numbers say.
Great comment from Greg Coles on our YouTube stream. Check out the YouTube stream at youtube.com/1067thefan. I think that's it. Greg Coles, Jaden looking good and not turning the ball over. Can't wait to see Cliff open up the offense even more. I agree with that. Let's go to Larry in La Plata. What up, Larry?
Gentlemen, I don't think there's any question that we potentially have a very, very, very special quarterback. Would it be unfair of me to ask him to be a little bit more patient, to let plays develop, and don't be afraid, don't be reluctant to throw the ball away? I think that in itself would rapidly accelerate his evolution. It would give him, you know, more experience at, you know, acquiring a vision on the field rather than taking off at the first opportunity.
Larry, I don't think that's unfair. I don't think that's unfair for you to ask, but I would counter with, it's not unfair to assume that might take a little bit of time. And I think the kid works his ass off. Mm-hmm. He's a straight football rat. I think that stuff will come. He's played two games, and he's relying on what he could get away with in college, and he's going to learn. And I think we saw that start to happen. Does that sound fair, B?
Yeah. I say it every day. I don't understand people that expect someone to walk into this game and be a finished damn product. In everything we've done in life, we had to grow into it. We could be perfect at something now or damn near perfect, but we want this kid to walk in and know every damn thing that we think he should know. When you saw from one game to the next, he got better. He took a step. Let's at least give him 4 to 5 games, 6 games before we start expecting him to be perfect. And then even after that, he won't be. You hear Michael Jordan say he was still learning when he was later in his career. Tom Brady was still learning new stuff in year 19. Why we want him to be great, to be a finished product in game 2 and 3? We need to be more patient instead of telling him to be more patient.
This is our 4th football season as a radio program.
Yeah.
We're absolutely better at it now than the first year we were doing it together.
I hope we are.
You know what I mean? Like, there are things that you probably get worse at over time, but I don't think it's a rookie quarterback. Elijah's in D.C.
What's up, Elijah?
Eli, talk to me.
What's going on, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Good to talk to y'all. You all actually interviewed my brother a number of times when he was in the UFC just a number of years ago. I'm super excited for Jaden Daniels. I'm happy where he is. You can see a few of the callers, and even you were just talking about this, the respect that the players have. You can also see the respect the defense has. In between plays, players know players. Nobody was kind of, you know, talking to our quarterbacks or kept dapping them up, not to kind of throw them off or incite them. It's just respect. Like, they see, you know, when he's a rookie, but they can see further into his development than maybe he can even see. They're like, man, this cat is going to be in this place soon. So I would like them to continue to develop the underneath game for him. I feel like he is more inclined to run on some of these deeper routes, at least early in the game. So I would like to see them to just expand on them underneath routes for him, expand on that running game. I said, man, B-Rob got 133. I thought the play action was going to be there. But like you said, that stuff is going to be there. Take what you get. You learn it. He's in when he's supposed to be. He's in early. You can tell that he's doing the reps. You can tell that everybody is excited in the building. And that's the only thing that we want this year. For this year, it's about confidence that we're going to be around for seasons to come. So let's be happy. Let's be thankful where we at. And all we need to be doing is just be excited for what is to come. Put it on the backs. You know, I go to backs of there. I think the backs will be clicking all season. So they're there to really help him. And as he notices them, as he sees them within the looks, as he can find his guy.
Eli, it's a great call. It's a good call, brother. I got to try to get everybody in.
Hi,
Matt is in Fredericksburg. Matty, let's go quick, man. How excited are you?
Hey, I'm really excited. There's two things I just wanted to talk about. One was that questionable interception that Ertz pulled down. And two was the kneel down that Jaden took right before we kicked that field goal. I think, you know, his ability to get at the line, run the next play, make sure they're not going to get a challenge off is really exciting. And just the awareness that he has to get the spot of the ball, middle of the hashes, set it up for the kicker. I mean, that's stuff that we hadn't seen in D.C. in 20 years. So it's just a great holistic approach that I think he brings to our offense. Whether you choke it up to coaching or players or what. But you got to have a quarterback behind it that knows how to do stuff like that.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, bro. Appreciate it.
All right, last one, Ricardo. Ricardo, quick. How you feel about Jaden Daniels?
What's going on, man? He's a hell of a player, man.
Perfect. Thanks, buddy. When we come back, Neil Greenberg joins the program.